This week, we read Rabbi Sai. This week is Parshas Vo'era. Let's start off with a very, very basic Yisoid in the Parsha, basically Chumash and Rashi. Vayidaber Elokim el Moshe, vayomer elav ani Hashem. Vo'era el Avraham, el Yitzchak, v'el Yaakov, bekel Shakoi. Ushmi Hashem, Yudke Vovke, loy noidati lachem. Rashi explains. Rashi really goes through a very long parish. I want to focus on the second parish, which Rashi only says in a few words. There's a whole page of Rashi, but then at the very end, Rashi goes back to the beginning on the next page, and he says, the ein ha medrash misyashev achar ha mikra. Okay, let me just find it. Which says over here on the next page. Okay, here it is. V'rabbi seinu dar shuhu le'inyin shel maila. Rashi first goes through a very long explanation as exactly what was the conversation between Moshe and Hashem, and why Hashem introduced Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov with the Shem Yudke, with the Shem Shaka. After two columns of commentary, Rashi on the next page in the article Chumash, he says, V'rabaseinu darshu, our teachers, they have a drash. They deviate from the pshat, and Rashi will reject this. Rashi is not very happy with this drash. And it's interesting, all of the when you hear someone talk about the parasha, they only say the drash. They totally ignore the pshat, even though Rashi at the end it says, I reject this. But here's what he says. Le'inyin shel maila. She'ama Moshe, we're going back to the previous parasha. Parshas Va'era begins upon the foundation of Parshas Shemos. What happened at the very end of Parshas Shemos? Moshe Rabbeinu complains bitterly, ze lo fair. This is not fair. It's not correct. But I was saying to the Rosh Hashanah, Inshallah, my Lashama, Mashallah, Lama Hariosa. Why have you dealt with evil to these people? What are you doing, Hashem? You send me on a mission, and every time I go to Paro, it gets worse and worse and worse. I am an abysmal failure. Omar lo yakadosh baruchu, chaval al de ovdin v'loy mishtakin. A complainer. Look what I got on my hands now. I got a complainer. What more do I need? He sends letters to the editor complaining. I recruit you. I send you on a mission. And all I have are complaints. I remember the good old days. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, they never complained. This is the drash. Parshas Vo'era begins with Hashem complaining. Okay? Hashem's complaining. What is Hashem complaining about? That you're a complainer. Okay, I'll give you a taste of your own medicine. Chaval, woe to me, al de'ovdan, to those that have been lost. V'loy mishtachin, we can't find any good men. Yesh li lihis oinein al misas ha'ovois harbe. Pa'amin. Harbe. I'm sorry. Al misas ha'ovois kama. I have what to complain about the death of the forefathers. Because, harbe pa'amim niglesi aleihem bekel shakai v'loy omru li ma shemecha. I appeared to them in the name of Kel Shakai, and they never said to me, Hashem, what's your name? What's your purpose? What's the goal here? What are you trying to accomplish? How do I know it's going to happen? Prove it to me. They don't ask questions. I gave the avos instructions, and they were very happy. Whatever I did for them was die. They sang Dayenu. Die, Dayenu. Die, Dayenu. Dayenu means enough. Whatever you do for me, Hashem, die. It's sufficient. Bekel Shakai. Shin Dalid Yud. Dalid Yud means die. Enough. Hashem, whatever you do is more than enough. I have no demands. I have no agenda. nothing other than to do your will. They were happy people. You're not a dai. You're a man of the 21st century in America. Entitlements. Demands. If the president doesn't look the way we like, he has to be impeached. Okay? Demands, entitlements, crazy, crazy hasagas. You have these unrealistic expectations of life and me. The avos die, dayenu. Enough is enough. You, Moshe, what's your name? What should I tell them? I can't tell them that because that's not good. Maybe give me something else to tell them. It goes back and forth. You're a real troublemaker. You want to know too many things. Where's the die? Isn't that what Rashi says? V'lo amru li mashemecha. V'yato amarta mashemoy mo'oymer aleihem. So Hashem says, I'm not so happy about this. And then Hashem goes on to complain. Uche, for example, Uche shebikesh Avraham likbar. So then he goes on to give examples when Avraham could not find the burial plot for Sarah. He had to pay the equivalent today of about $3 to $4 million to buy a grave. What is the most expensive grave today in Eretz Yisrael? I don't think there's a grave in Eretz Yisrael more than $100,000. The most expensive grave in the world today, burial plot, is not more than $100,000. If you want to be the person who wants to be buried in that's you're not going to find. I don't believe you're going to find more than that. So how much did it cost Maris Machpelah? Arba Meo Shekel Kesef Oiver La Soicher. We're able today to figure out exactly how much that would be worth today in modern day currency, and it comes out to about $3 to $4 million. So he paid $3 to $4 million for a burial plot when it really belongs to him anyway. Really should be for free. It should be for free. What?
How much money did he have in the bank?
I don't know. But he paid $3 to $4 million. Just because you have in the bank a lot of money doesn't mean that when you go to the store to buy a piece of bread, you have to pay $100. You pay it was a fair price. He was ripped off. He didn't complain. Yitzchak needed water. He had to dig a well, he didn't complain. Even though they closed off his wells. Yaakov even wanted a pitcher's tent, they drove him out, he didn't complain. You, Moshe, everything is a question. Everything is a complaint. Okay, that's Rashi. So what do we take out of this? Exactly this one you say. I want to just bring one little, very small point. Moshe Rabbeinu was the man of I want to know your name. I want to know Yud Kei Vav Kei, which according to Rashi has the flavor of me. I want to understand the full depth of reward and punishment, purpose, mission, who you are, who are we, what is life all about anyway? What's going on? What's the purpose of life? What is this all about? Okay, this is what Avraham, this is Moshe Rabbeinu. The Avos, that's all Nichlal in Yud Kei Vav Kei. The Avos, they were people of Shakai. Whatever you want Hashem is enough. Whatever you do for us is enough. Now, Pesach, I probably told you this Vart, but I want to tell you something, another point, which one does Hakdama. Lil Pesach, is Moshe Rabbeinu mentioned in the Haggadah? No. What? Vayaminu b'Hashem uvimoyshe avdo, incidentally, not as a primary subject. Why not? Because the Lel Seder, we go back to the Avos. The Avos, when we come to the Seder and we witness all of the miracles, we are humbled. We are humbled and we return to the Avos, to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov are Shakai. And it's for that reason, Rabbi Yisai, we have the piyut, one of the highlights of the Haggadah is Dayenu. Dayenu, the Shoresh, is Dai. Dai is rooted in the shame Shakai. Vo'eiro el Avraham el Yitzchak v'el Yaakov bekel Shakai. Whatever Hashem does for us is enough. To know and understand the answer to all the questions is Moshe, is Yudke Vavke. The Lel Seder is a Laila of Shakai, not a Laila of Yudke Vavke. The Lel Seder, anyone will tell you, the Yisoid of the Lel Seder is Emunah. It's the Aleph Beis. What do you teach your children? V'gadta levincha b'yomahu leimar. What do you teach them? Open up any Haggadah. The Yisoid is to teach them faith. Faith in the Ribbono Shel Olam. Faith means I don't know the answers. I don't know why. I don't know. I don't have any proof. I have no guarantees. I don't know what to say. What is your name? What's the purpose? What is the goal? I don't know. That is Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. I appeared to them without telling them all of the secrets. And what did they say? Die. Shakai. We're willing to believe in the God Shakai. Meaning, Hashem is all the same. Hashem has many names. But in this prat of Emuna, that whatever you do for us is enough, that is sufficient. Therefore, Moshe does not belong at the Pesach Seder. Because Moshe is the man of Mo'imar Alehem. I demand answers. That's not what the Seder is about. The Seder is about there are no answers. Emuna. Emuna is Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, Bekel Shakai. And that is why the center of the Haggadah is Ilu lo tziyanu mi mitrayim v'yazbohem shefatim dayenu. Ilu asavohem shefatim v'lo v'chulu dayenu. Every step of the way it's Shakai. Okay. Yeah.
Seder also encourages Q&A, right?
Right, so there's questions, yeah.
It's a balance, absolutely. There's a balance. Q&A, but the answers ultimately will never be sufficient. You give an answer the best that you can, but when the answer does not fully, you have to give an answer, of course, but at the end of the day, the goal is Emunah. Now, that's an old Vart. We probably discussed that at some point in time. The new thing I want to bring out to you is a mezuzah. On the outside of a mezuzah, it is halacha, the halacha of Moshe Sinai, we put the shem Shin Dalid Yud. And the Iker Hadin, the name of Hashem should appear on the, you should see it. Now, it is discussed in the Shulchan Aruch and the Mefarsh that if the mezuzah is in a location where there are things that are not clean, if you have little young children who run around with diapers, or you're in public, the mezuzah is in a public area where there are things that are not necessarily appropriate, then you have no choice but to cover the shin, dalid, yud, that appears on the outside of the mezuzah, because it's not proper to expose Hashem's name, which is sacred. The name shin, dalid, yud is sacred. It is not proper for that name to be exposed to things that are not holy. If you're in a home where everything is covered and there's no diapers and you don't have women that are dressed inappropriately parading around, then it is proper and it is ideal, is correct, that the outside of the mezuzah should be exposed. And indeed, in many shuls and yeshivas, the mezuzah in the Beis Medrash, in the building is exposed. It's in a glass case. That's ideal. Those who know the halacha. You can buy in many cases. In ancient times, they not necessarily had cases. They just took the mezuzah somehow. They were able to affix the mezuzah in a cavity. They would etch out a cavity in the mezuzah, and they would take a raw mezuzah that's not wrapped in anything and stick it in, embed it into the doorpost, into the stone, embed it. When you are in an area where you're exposed and the shin, dalad, yud will be exposed to the outside. Today we have technology, so we have these very beautiful plastic mezuzah cases, glass mezuzah cases, and those who know the halacha know that it's proper to purchase a mezuzah that's a glass or plastic where you can see the shame of Hashem exposed, and you should put the mezuzah in such a way where you can see it, unless the mezuzah is being put in a place where there is an expectation that there will be things that will be exposed that are not proper for it to be in exposed to, then you have no choice but it should be covered. You have a store and people walk in, they're not properly dressed. So then in a store, you should put the mezuzah, should be in a case that is completely opaque. So
bedroom?
Bedroom, it should not be in the bedroom. Well, the bedroom has to be on the outside of the bedroom. Bedroom, it's even worse because the mezuzah is not, that's a different discussion. It's not allowed to be in the bedroom when the door closes. Because of very other halachas. But in a bedroom, really it should be covered more or less because people are not dressed. Okay? But that in the living room downstairs, it should be ideally should be exposed. Now, what's going on over here? Why is it that the shem shin dalid yud is exposed on the outside of the mezuzah? Inside the mezuzah, the name does not appear. Inside the mezuzah, we have Shema, The whole tafkid of the mezuzah is Shema Yisrael Hashem Yudke Vavke Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Not only do we have an appreciation of who Hashem is and understand the full depth of the Ribbono Shel Olam, and we accept upon the yoke of heaven, the day will come when the Umos HaOlam will also appreciate Hashem Echad. And we have the Hoyim Shemoya, we go through the mitzvahs, and it's always with the full depth of Yudke Vavke. But yet on the outside, we have the Shem Shin Dalid Yud. What is the Musar Haskel? The Musar Haskel is, here you have a mezuzah. In this mezuzah lies the secrets of the world. Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim. Not just for us, for the Umay Sa'olam. From the beginning of time to the end of time. Hashem Echad. Kabbalas Ol HaMitzvahs. All of the mitzvahs. V'hoya im Shamaya Tishmu'u El Mitzvah Sai Ashonochi Mitzav Eschem. All of the mitzvahs, the whole Torah, Tayag mitzvahs. And we focus on specific things, Talmud Torah, Tefillin, Mezuzah, teaching your children, teaching students, we focus on certain things, but it encompasses everything. So what is natural? When you have in front of you the whole world, you want it. If you have in front of you the mezuzah, which is a world in a nutshell, it's a microcosm of the whole world, I have demands. I want it. I want to understand it. I want to appreciate it. I want the reward. I want the reward. I want the satisfaction and the benefit that comes along with having power, possession of the whole world in your hands. If you are a dictator and you control a country, you live in luxury. You live with all of the benefits that your country has to offer. And your palace, everything is done for you. The floors are paved in gold. So if you have in front of you the mezuzah, which captures the entire world, there is an expectation. Give me more, more, more. I'm entitled to all of the benefit that comes along with my service to Hashem, of acceptance, of Omal Hoshamayim. The antidote to that danger of entitlement is on the outside of the mezuzah, it says Shin Dalid Yud. Die. The same Ribbono Shel Olam that will ultimately give you reward, in the meantime, as long as you're living in this house and you're in this Beis Medrash, whatever you get is more than what you deserve. Die. The outside of the mezuzah is Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. The inside of the mezuzah is Moshe Rabbeinu. Inside is Moshe, all of the mitzvahs. Kabbalas HaMitzvah. Who gave us the Torah? Moshe. Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe. Moshe gave us the Torah. He gave us the mitzvahs. What does it say in the first parasha? Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Who's the one who asked Hashem, what's your name? Tell me your name. What should I tell the Jewish people? How should I explain what your name is to them? It's all Moshe, from beginning to end. And with that comes questions, demands, entitlements. Hashem says, very good. Hakol osa yofa bi'itai. But in the meantime, roll it up. Roll up that mezuzah. Put it on the post of the door, and on the outside of that mezuzah, write the name Shin Dalid Yud. Vo'era el Avraham, el Yitzchak, el Yaakov, bekel shakai. To them, there were no complaints. There were no entitlements. Chaval al de'avdin v'loy mishtachin. They were more than happy with anything that they got. Even though he had to pay $3 million to bury his wife for a grave that really is his own, and even though Yitzchak didn't have what to drink, and even though Yaakov couldn't find a piece of land to pitch his tent, no complaints. So you also, just because I've given you the keys to the universe with the Torah of Moshe, take a cold shower and calm down and be happy, have what to eat. Be happy with the little things in life. The shakai is the antidote to the potential gaiva, the potential demands of entitlements that can come with knowledge of what's on the inside of the mezuzah. Yeah.
The Avos had a more simplistic background, and so therefore they were able to more accept a Kaddish Baruch
Hu. Why did they have more simplistic? Not necessarily so.
No. What I'm trying to get at is that Moshe's background was as a prince. He was the son of Pharaoh. And so his background made him
That's a different topic of discussion. That's a different topic of where they got to. That's a very good point. How did they develop in their personal lives to be who they are? But this is a fact. The pasuk here is machalik between Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and Moshe, and we define them with different shemos of Hashem. And this contrast is found in the mezuzah. On the outside is Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. On the inside is Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is the secret to the world.
I like to be Melamed Zchus HaMoshe all the time when I say it.
I'm not complaining against Moshe, Chas
Shalom. No, I don't mean that, but he was a complainer. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, God did a lot of nisim and flows for them. But the point is, they didn't complain because it was for themselves, so they never asked anything. Moshe wasn't asking for anything for himself ever when he sees other people suffering.
Okay, all right.
So he's asking for other people, which is more kedai. You see somebody else suffer, you don't care what happens.
It's a different.
You don't want them to suffer.
Okay, I hear.
Also, isn't Moshe, the most honored person in the world?
Yes, he is. Of course.
He's not really doing it to be antagonistic necessarily, what he's doing.
Well, maybe.
These are all excellent and correct points. However, we're focusing on one specific. There are many dimensions. We know this. Ayin Panim L'Torah. We have here one very specific point. Rashi makes this point. Rashi says the words Chaval al da'avdin v'loy mishtaken. We contrast the Avos versus Moshe. Moshe is making demands. Moshe is a man of. It presents himself as a man of entitlement, because he has in his hands the secrets to the world. The Avos had a very different attitude in this very specific dimension of Dai. On the mezuzah, we have that contrast. And it's not for nothing that we have that contrast, because there's a danger. There's a danger in knowing too much and having access to too much, which has to be balanced with a shakai, where a person acknowledges that whatever he has is more than enough. Okay, let's go to another idea. Someone asked me a question. I think this question opened up a whole new world, fascinating understanding of a pasuk in last week's parasha. In last week's parasha, Moshe Rabbeinu says to Hashem, "Ribbono shel Olam, you want to send me on a mission? We got a problem. I am a kivad peh and kivad lashon. I'm not an ish divorim." Let me actually quote the pasuk. It's very important to read this pasuk. Moshe says, "Vayomer Moshe Hashem, you're trying very hard to recruit me, but let me make something very clear. Be Hashem, loy ish divorim onoichi. I have a problem with language. I am not a man of words. You need a man that has good communication skills. I'm not an Abi Ibn. Right? How's his name? Abba. I'm not a man that's eloquent. I don't have the vocabulary. I don't have the communication skills to speak to the Jewish people, and certainly not to Paro. Not to Paro. I can't. Loi ish devorim onoichi. Gam mitzmoil, not yesterday. Gam mishilshoim, not from my other life, not from 3 days ago. Gam me'oz dabercho el avdecho. And in addition, Hashem ki chvad peh, I have a heavy mouth. Uchevad loshoin anoichi. He says three things. I'm loy ish devarim, I'm a kevad peh, and a kevad loshoin. What is the difference between these three? You can analyze this from today until tomorrow. That's not our point. Hashem says, Vayomer Hashem Elov. Misam Pelada. Excuse me, sir. Who is the one who gave you a mouth to begin with? Who gave any person a mouth? Oy mi yosum ilim. Who is the person that gives the koyach hadibur? Oy cheresh. The ability, or the person, who's the being that causes the person to be deaf? Oy pikeach. A person that can speak well. Oy iver, blindness. Haloy anoichi Hashem. Is it not I? Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Moshe Rabbeinu said to Hashem, I don't have language. I'm not a man of words. I don't have a peh. I have a kavad peh and a kavad lashon. He spoke about things that come out of the mouth. What do the eyes and the ears have to do with Hashem's response to Moshe Rabbeinu? Hashem said, Moshe, me some pelon. That I understand. Who gave man the koyach hadibur? Me. So if I'm telling you to go, go. And then Hashem goes on to say, oh, mi yosum ilim. Who makes man mute? Moshe is not mute. Moshe can speak. It's just that he's not eloquent. Moshe can speak. The only problem is his words are slurred. So what is Hashem now saying? Who made man ilim, mute? Who made man deaf? Deaf? We're not discussing deafness here. Moshe didn't mention the concept of deafness. Oy fikeach. Fikeach means, what does it mean fikeach? Fikeach means you can speak. You can hear, I guess. You can hear. Oy iver, blindness? Blindness? We're not discussing sight. We're discussing sounds that come out of the mouth. What is the pshutoy shel mikra of this pasuk? That's question number one. But one thing is for sure. Hashem said to Moshe, this is a lame excuse. Don't complain to me that you don't have the correct words, you don't have the ability to communicate. I am telling you, you will be able to communicate with Paro, with Bnei Yisrael, and don't give me this excuse. Get moving. Let's get the show on the road. Correct? That's what it says here. Okay, now let's fast forward to this week's parasha. Parasha Va'era. The parasha begins, I appear to Avraham, v'chulu v'chulu, and therefore go, emol v'nei Yisrael, tell them the dal l'shoinais, and then Moshe Rabbeinu says, Ribbono shel Olam, v'yidaber Hashem Moshe Leimar, v'yidaber, I'm now in Pasik, Yudbeis, Perek Vav, Yudbeis. No, Vayidaber Moshe lefnei Hashem lemar, Ribbono shel Olam, hein bnei Yisrael lo shamu elai. They don't listen. Ve'eich yishmo'eni faro, v'ani aral sifosayim. I have uncircumcised lips. Nice way of saying, the words just don't flow. I stutter. I have a kavad peh, kavad lashon. The words don't come out of my mouth the way I would like to I don't have communication skills. Nochamo. What is this over here? A game? Moshe, you already presented this argument 7 days ago, last Shabbos. Last Shabbos in Parshas Shemos, you made the complaint, I am loy ish divorim. I'm a kavad peh, a kavad loshoin. You're just changing the vocabulary. You're now using the words aral sifosayim. What's the chilek between loy ish divorim, kavad peh, kavad loshoin, aral sifosayim? If we take everything together, Parshas Shemois and Parshas Va'era, there are four different communication expressions. Ish dvorim, words, a kvad peh, a heavy mouth, a kvad loshoin, a heavy tongue, and here we have a new excuse in Parashas Va'era, aral sifosayim. My lips are not circumcised. I don't even know what that means. My lips are not, what does it mean to circumcise your lips? What do you cut off? What are you supposed to remove from your lips? But whatever these words mean, I think we could have a right to assume that when Hashem said to Moshe in last week's parasha, Moshe, don't complain to me. Me some pele adam. Who gave man a mouth? Me some me ilaim. Iver cheresh bikeach haloi anochi Hashem. Get moving. So what is he complaining here all over again? So I want to give you an answer, a suggestion. I think there's a lot of truth to this suggestion. In last week's parasha, Moshe Rabbeinu was not complaining about his communication skills. Not correct. The first time Moshe Rabbeinu complains to Hashem about, I don't have the verbal skills of communication, is this week's parasha, when Moshe Rabbeinu says, I am an aral sifosayim. My lips are not circumcised. No, that would mean that they don't come out. My lips cannot produce eloquent speech, words that have meaning that will be heard by the listener. So what then does it mean in the previous parasha, in Parasha Shmos? Something entirely different. And the key word is one word, ish. Moshe begins with the statement, loy ish divarim. The one who lanes, the one who blows the shofar on Rosh Hashanah, what do we call him? The Baal Tokeya. Do we call him the Ish Tokeya?
No, he's the Baal.
The Baal. He is the master over the blowing. We don't call him the Ish because it's not a matter of who you are, it's a matter of what you do. The one who reads the parasha, do we call him the Ish HaKoyre, the man who reads, or we call him the Baal Koyre, the Baal Korea? What you do, you're the master over the reading. We don't call him the person who reads. We don't care who you are. We care about what you do. You are the master over the reading that is presented to the tzibur. Happens to be the one that presents, that reads, is a human being, not a robot. But it's the Baal, the master of the kriya, the Baal Tokeya. What then does it mean when Moshe Rabbeinu said, Loi ish divarim, he should have said something like, Loi Baal divarim onoichi. I'm a kvad peh, kvad lashoin. What's the word ish? The answer is, Moshe Rabbeinu was saying to Hashem, Ribbono shel Olam, a leader needs what we call in English, presence. Today, in the United States, presence. Today, would George Washington ever make it as President of the United States? They say never in a million years. Yeah, he did not have the shtat.
He's a white male.
He did not have...
No, he wouldn't make it on TV.
He wouldn't make it on TV. Okay, with any of the early presidents, like it, the founding fathers, some of them were Nebuch. Their appeal on the media, on television, on radio, they wouldn't last a day. Because you need, in America, you need presence. When you stand in front of the camera at a debate, they look at you, they see, they don't just hear what you have to say. They want someone presidential. That's the way we live today. They want presence. Charisma. When the person, charisma is another issue. You want to use charisma, charisma is a very hard word to translate. What does it mean? Charisma is a very complicated concept. Charisma is very complicated. You need, I think the better word is presence. When the person walks into the room, there's a certain presence. We all know you go in certain shuls, some rabbanim have presence. Just their being there, it's a different aura, a different ambiance, presence. Moshe Rabbeinu complained, Ribbono shel Olam, I am not an ish of Devarim. It's not about the words that come out of my mouth. I'm not yet even up to that. But when I walk into the room with the leaders of the Jewish people and tell them, I'm your savior, Pokoid Pokadati, they're going to look, you? A short little chubby guy? First, go on a diet.
Wasn't he a pretty big guy?
Okay, I'm giving you an example. You know, first, you look a little queer. You're not the type of person that will do the ratings on your talk show are not going to be very high. You're our savior? No way. And we don't even want to hear what you have to say.
Hollywood felt the same way. They had Charlton Heston play Moshe. It's a tall, dynamic.
You have no presence. Ribbono shel olam, loy ish divarim. I'm not yet up to what I'm going to say. I'm going to walk into the room. They're going to give one look at me and they're going to say, what? What are you wasting our time? You know, first, get
Moshe
some...
Was Moshe asking for help?
No, he didn't want the job.
I know, but if he said, maybe he was hinting...
I'm the wrong guy.
If Hashem said, I will help you...
Pashto says he did not want the job. He did not want the job. He did not want... And he said to Hashem, this most powerful argument is, I have no presence. I don't make an impression upon my people. And therefore, they will never have respect for me. Paro will never have respect. When it says kivad loshoin and kivad peh, it's a little bit of a stretch, I acknowledge, but it's tying back to I'm not an ish of devarim. Just your presence is a communication to the people. When you walk into a shul and there's a prominent rav that has presence, just looking at him, you already know what it's all about. We've all, every so often, encountered people that have presence, whether it's in the entertainment business, lahavdil, or whether it's in Dvar Moshe B'Kedusha. You're going into a certain arena, and there's a certain mission, expectation. You want to be entertained. There's a certain presence an entertainer gives you. If you want to go into a shul and you want to hear words of Torah and Yiras Shamayim, you're looking to see a Rav that has a certain presence. Just looking at him radiates communication. Forget about the actual words that come out of his mouth. Just his presence is dibur, is loshoin, is peh. And this I don't have. Now, with this understanding, it fits like a glove what Hashem said back to him. Moshe, Lufi Pshutel Shomek, was only discussing words. Hashem says, who made man deaf? Who made man blind? Who gave the power of sight? What does sight and sound and deafness have to do with, and the ability to speak have to do with communication skills? The answer is, communication skills in the form of presence includes what you see and what you hear. Not the words, the tone, the inflection. When the rabbi gets up and he speaks with a heavy voice, with a certain tone, a certain pitch, that itself creates an aura. When you'll go home, your wife will ask you, so what did the rabbi say? I have no idea what he said, but I was scared out of my mind. But he sure scared the living daylights out of me that I'm going to go to Gehenna very soon. What he said, I don't know what he said. But the way he said it, with the emotion and the tone, it scared the living daylights out. We all had those experiences. I can't repeat for you even one thing that was said, but I walked away with an impression that I was in the presence of greatness. And that spoke to me. I want to be like that person, even though I didn't hear one word. He said, how many times do we have stories in Jewish history where a Gadol B'Yisrael went to a non-Jewish leader and spoke in a language that the non-Jewish leader did not understand? Chafetz Chaim rejected my great-grandfather from speaking to, in government, to help with a gezeira of secular education. Why? Because my great-grandfather, the Reish Rav, he knew Polish better than the Polacks. He knew how to speak a perfect Polish. And the Chafetz Chaim did not want a person to speak to the government in Polish. He wanted someone to speak in Yiddish. He wanted bedavka, they should not understand what's going to be said. He wanted that inflection of authenticity, of Yiddishkeit. That plea should come with sound, without words. And he did not allow my great-grandfather to go be the representative in a certain mission that they had to go to present an argument before the government in order not to enforce or legislate laws that would be harmful for the Jewish people in education. So what do you learn from that story? That's one of many stories. Is it's not the words, it's the tone, it's the presence. Moshe Rabbeinu in the previous parasha says to the Ribbono Shel Olam, I am not taking this job because I do not have the right tzura. I would not last in front of the media for one day. I'm not an ish devarim. We're not talking about being a baal devarim. I'm not an ish who looking at me is a communication. I'm a kevad peh. Kevad peh here has to mean in the form of this man has what to say. I don't want to hear your words. I just look at you. I know you're going to be able to say something important. I'm a kevad peh. They don't view me as being a person who's capable of having a peh or a lashon. And Hashem says to him, listen, I'm the boss here. Impression and presence, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. The people, even though maybe in the newspaper you're not glamorous, okay, maybe in the newspaper you're not going to look very glamorous or on television, but when the people are going to look at you and they're going to hear your tone and they're going to see you, I'm the person who makes people blind and have good sight. I'm the person who gives the power of hearing and the power not to hear. They will be influenced by your presence, trust me. Presence includes all of the senses of sight and sound, lav dafka, the actual words. You will succeed, your presence will be felt and will be very valuable to Klal Yisrael. My mother, Zichron Levrach, always would tell me the story, Allah Hashem would always tell me the story that when she went, when Rav Hutner, he was hijacked, and his life was in great danger, and a miracle happened, he survived. And when he came back, when he arrived in New York, the whole Klal Yisrael, the whole New York, went to greet him, Kabbalah Sponim, at the airport. And my mother went. Were you there? I think on a Friday, it was before my time. So my mother told me she went. Everyone went. Every living from person went to the airport. Rav Meir, did you go? You didn't go? Was there Rosh Hashanah? Okay, my mother told me that she went. She said there was a massive, massive crowd present. And the police were trying to maintain decorum, and they couldn't. It was chaos. So the police said, what could we do to maintain decorum? They said, speak to Rav Moshe Feinstein. He's the leader of all these people. They told Rav Moshe, and they said, my mother was, she's an eyewitness, she said, Rav Moshe, he lifted up his hand. A little man, how tall was Rav Moshe? 5'3"?
Under five?
That was under five. Yeah, under 5 feet?
No.
Okay, whatever, 5 feet? Short man, he lifted up his hand. And it wasn't a sound. And my mother told me the reaction of the police was astonishing. They could not be massive. This little man, he lifted up his hand, and suddenly the silence. Mi sampeh. Mi, who made a man a cheresh, an either, a pikeach, halayonoichi? Presence? I'm the one who establishes who makes an impression upon society. So Moshe Rabbeinu, let's set the record straight. You're complaining that you're not an ish devarim, and all of the qualities of the ish devarim of being a man of presence, which includes the koyach of peh and lashon, you don't have? Don't worry, I'm the balabas. People will see and hear what they need to see and hear to acknowledge your presence, and the impression and the role of a leader will be felt by the entire Klal Yisrael. Now we can understand this week's parasha. Now that Hashem already gave Moshe Rabbeinu Musar, you have presence, and your role is going to work. Moshe Rabbeinu says, listen, you can have a lot of presence, but after a while, you have to have what to say. You know, presence is very important. But we have here a very specific mission. I have to deliver a message to Paro. I have to deliver a message to the Jewish people. Va'ani aral sifosayim. Okay, Hashem, everyone in Klal Yisrael now acknowledges I am the leader. But I need a secretary. I need a laptop. I need a way to communicate. Because the words still, I may make sounds and people are afraid of me. They may acknowledge my presence. I'm now established to be the Ish of Devarim. But I need the words. I need the words to come out of my mouth. Okay, Moshe, you got Aaron. Aaron will say the words for you. But you are the leader. You are the Ish Devarim. Mr. Rapport, very quick.
No, you answered my question.
Okay, so we have over here, based on this question, I really opened up my eyes to really believe in this Vart, is that the word Ish in the previous parasha is speaking to us, okay, pun intended. Yeah. It's Moshe Rabbeinu's initial complaint was, a leader needs presence. And a leader also needs communication skills. Parsha Shemos is Moshe's complaint. I have no presence. Hashem says, I'm in charge of that. And presence, you're right, includes sight, iver, pikeach, and includes the ability to hear, not the words, to hear the tone, to hear the pitch, to hear the sixth sense. There's something in the person's tone that you can't define. That's presence. I'm going to make sure the people hear what they need to hear and they don't hear what they don't need to hear and they'll see what they need to see. And as far as words, the exact words, the communication skills, that's this week's parasha, the Aral Sefosai. Okay, that's this one. Let me now go to onto the next part. One more part. Okay, we have another part, another very important part in this week's parasha. Moshe Rabbeinu complains, now it's not a long vart. There's a pasuk here, this is a pasuk, there are two pasukim in this week's parasha, which is almost unprecedented. Such a concept is a very, very fascinating concept. You cannot never have such a thing anywhere in Tanakh. Maybe you do, I'm not familiar. Moshe Rabbeinu, this very pasuk that we just discussed right now, Vayidaber Moshe Lefnei Hashem, Lemar. Moshe speaks, Lefnei Hashem, Lemar, Hein, behold, B'nei Yisrael loy shamu elai. They don't listen to me. V'eich yishma'eni faro. Kal v'choymer. If the Jewish people don't believe in me, so how could Paro believe in me? V'ani aral sefosam. Okay, we just explained this pasuk. Okay. We jump ahead. A few psukim. That was pasuk Yud Beis. We then go through the yichus of Eile Roshe Beis Avoisa. Ruvain, Shimon, and Levi. Only three Shvatim. Three Shvatim, the Yichus. Why we want to get to Moshe Rabbeinu. Rav Sham Shufal Hirsch has a ganz of Arichus on this. This is the response to Christianity, that Moshe Rabbeinu is a real person. From a real mother, a real father. Not like make-believe religions that claim that their leader came from somewhere else. Moshe now is established as the leader. The Torah stops and says, let's make no mistake. Moshe Rabbeinu has a real father, Amram. And Amram has a father, Levi. The real people here. Let's make no mistake about it. Okay, we now know who Moshe is. We proceed. Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe. Vayom Moshe lefnei pasuk lamid, same perek. Vayom Moshe lefnei Hashem. Hein ani aral sifosayim. Ve'eich yishma elai paro. Wait a minute, didn't we say that before? Doesn't that sound familiar? It's not exactly the same words. So Rashi, yeah. This pasuk is repetition, pure repetition. Oh, but we've been trained in yeshiva that there's nothing in the Torah that's extra. Every single word is precise. So why does Moshe say exactly the same thing he said 5 minutes ago? So Rashi says, no, Moshe only said it once. Being that the pasuk was mafsik, we went off on a tangent. to now to describe the yichus of Moshe. We want to return back, resume our discussion. So as a technique to get back into the discussion, we repeat the last pasuk that we said before. That's very rare. Mm-hmm. More often than not, we're mafsik, and then we just continue where we left off. Here, we're not going to continue where we left off. We're going to repeat the last sentence. A recap. Let's recap where we're up to. Right? You have Lahavil, Elif, Alpha, Avdolus. You have an episode on television to be continued. And then you come back next week. First, before we do to the, we continue, let's recap what happened last week. Chazara. It's exactly what it does over here. Exactly what it does over here. Wow, the Torah does that? The Torah does that? Yeah. That's what Rashi says. That is the pshutoi shel mikra. Ein ha-mikra yotzei midei pshuta. I want to teach you a drush. This is a half-baked drush. Part of it is clear and part of it is not so clear. And you'll have to fill in the part that's not clear. Moshe Rabbeinu has a complaint. No, I got a problem here, Hashem. There are three problems Moshe mentions. Number one is, the Jewish people don't listen to me. That's a problem. Number two, the Eich Yishma'eni Paro. Paro doesn't listen to me. Number three, even if they would listen to me, I can't get the words out of my mouth. I stutter. The words just don't go. It's also a problem. Three problems. So Hashem says, I have three solutions. Three solutions. Rashi basically says, as far as the stuttering problem, Aaron will say what needs to be said. He'll be your mouthpiece. As far as Paro is concerned, Rashi says something which is beyond belief. Rashi says what you should do is Paro will listen to you if you give Paro kavod, honor. I'm not making this up. Rashi says this. Rashi, the next pasuk, Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe v'el Aaron v'yitzavim el b'nei Yisrael v'el Paro melech Mitzrayim lo hitzi es b'nei Yisrael mi'eretz Mitzrayim. Rashi, pasuk Yud Gimel. Rashi says here in pasuk Yud Gimel, let me find the Rashi very quickly, v'yitzavim el Yisrael tzivim aleihem lahanhigam b'nachas v'lispo loisam. So what Rashi wants to say is that as far as the problem of the Jews not listening to you, you know what the solution is? Don't shout at them. Don't shout at them. Speak to them gently. If you speak gently, they will listen. Paro needs another technique. V'el Paro melech Mitzrayim. This is one of the only places, Rabbi Isai, in the entire story where Paro is called the king of Egypt. Paro is always, kimat, till the very end, called Paro. Paro, it's the name, Jack. Go to Jack and tell Jack, behave yourself. That's how you talk to the king? Go to the Donald and tell the Donald to be quiet. That's how you talk to the president, Mr. President. You don't say the Donald. You say, only his wife can say the Donald, but not him. To him, you say the president. The whole parasha is called, he's called Paro. The only place he's called Melech Mitzrayim is Hashem's response to Moshe. And Rashi picked up on that. And Rashi said, what are you complaining, Moshe? He's not going to listen to you because you don't know how to talk. Don't go to Paro and say, the Donald should let us go. You should go to Paro and say, may it please be that the excellency of the president, of the king, allow the Jewish people to leave. Give the man kavod. When you talk with respect to this man, even though he may be a lowlife, it's a different conversation. Rashi says this. Tziva malom lach loy kavod bidivreyem. How does Rashi know this? Pasha, because it says melech Mitzrayim. And as far as your stuttering problem, Aaron will be your solution. Let's review. Moshe has three problems. Number one, the Jewish people, they don't listen to me. Paro. Number two, Paro doesn't listen. Number three, I stutter. Hashem stuttering? Aaron's going to say the words. The Jewish people speak gently. They'll listen. Paro, talk with respect to Paro. If you'll talk with respect to Paro, he'll listen to you. Okay. Now, that's Ein Hamikra Yotze Midei Peshuta. Now, I want to say a drush. What happens right after this? Right after Hashem tells him the solution, we give list the yichus of Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. Rashi says, why are we giving the yichus? Different reasons. But part of Rashi is because these Shevatim had a chip on their shoulder. Because when Yaakov blessed Klal Yisrael, he said nasty things. He didn't give a bracha to Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. So Hashem now wants to be mechabed them. Give them kovoid. So Rashi says, because these Shvatim, they were complaining, they didn't get the kovoid, the yichus, Rashi says, Lefi, mitoich shahuskak liyaches shifter shalav levi, then goes on, psik the gedolah reisi, Lefi shekinteram, Yaakov Avinu complained against them. Leshloish Shvatim alalu, b'shas maisai, chozer hakasa v'yachsem kan levadam, Loimar shechashuvim heim, the choshuv. So I want to suggest to you is the same way Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Paro doesn't listen. You know why Paro is not listening? Because you're calling Paro by his first name. Speak to Paro with respect. Give him dignity. Then he'll listen. When you mechabed a person, it changes everything. Even if he doesn't deserve the covet. When you talk to a person with respect, even though he doesn't deserve the respect, it elevates the whole conversation. Klal Yisrael, you know why they don't listen to you? Because they also have no self-esteem. Because you don't have respect for them either. So you know what, Moshe Rabbeinu, you're going to do? You're going to give kavod to Klal Yisrael. Especially to the Shvatim, who need a boost in their self-esteem. Describe their yichus. Show Klal Yisrael their choshuv. They're choshuv. When you show them they're choshuv, when you mechabe them, when you talk to someone with respect, it's a different ballgame. Moshe Rabbeinu listens to only half of Hashem's advice. He's mechabed Klal Yisrael, and I'm saying that was controversial. I need help with this. But it seems that Moshe Rabbeinu said, Ribbono Shel Olam, to give kavod to that ugly man, no way, that I can't do. I'll give kavod to Klal Yisrael. And he's meyaches, the yichus of Klal Yisrael, to give them kavod. And now let's return to where we left off, the recap. The recap is not the same. Last week, before we said to be continued, there were three complaints. Paro doesn't listen, the Jewish people don't listen, and I'm ani aral sifasayim. Hashem says, Aaron's going to be your mouthpiece. Don't worry about that. Paro, give him kavod. Klal Yisrael, give kavod. What does Moshe do? Moshe gives kavod to Klal Yisrael. All of a sudden, Klal Yisrael is listening. And the recap begins, Vayoyimeh Moshe lefnei Hashem, Hein ani aral sifasayim, I still can't talk. Okay? Ve'eich yishma elai paro. Wait, what about the other problem of Klal Yisrael not willing to listen? Oh, Ribbono Shel Olam, that's not a problem anymore. That's not a problem anymore. Why not? Because I was miyaches them, right? I gave them kavod. I just went over their yichus. I built up their self-esteem. They like me now. They listen to me now. So do the same thing for Paro. No, the eich yishma elai Paro, Moshe doesn't take Hashem's cue. Moshe does not say Paro melech Mitzrayim. Hashem says, go talk to Paro melech Mitzrayim. Moshe says, sorry, that I'm not doing. I refuse. The eich yishma elai Paro, and then go through all of the makos from beginning to end. Paro, 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 Paro. Moshe can never get that word out of his mouth. Paro melech Mitzrayim. The first time we hear about Paro as melech Mitzrayim is makas b'choros. Mi b'chor Paro yoshev al kiso. Rashi learns not Paro's son, Paro himself. Paro the b'chor, who is yoshev on his own kisei malchus. Not Paro's firstborn son. Mi b'chor Paro, Para was the firstborn, and Para was Yoshev al Kisei Malchuso. That's the first time Paro is given respect as being Malchus. The first time. And that's Taka when Paro said, get out of here. Go. The Jewish people are free to go. When Paro finally felt the respect of his Malchus, he was finally receptive to Hashem too, the Musar of Moshe Rabbeinu, let my people go. Klal Yisrael immediately were receptive to the Musar of Moshe Rabbeinu. You know why? Because Moshe Rabbeinu had no problem immediately being mechabed Klal Yisrael by going through their yichus. But for whatever reason, I don't know the answer. For whatever reason, Moshe Rabbeinu did not give respect to the malchus of Egypt. He maybe because he just couldn't do it. Hashem said this. Sometimes Hashem tells you to do something. It takes time to get there. Yeah, you're a human being. You can't go to Shemayim overnight. You can't learn Shas overnight. It's a process to get to a matzav where you could come to respect your enemy. Moshe was a real person. He could not overnight have sincere respect for this man who is a Rasha, who tried to kill everyone. He couldn't bring himself to have respect. It took a lot of time. And when he finally came around to showing him that respect, it was the way up to the 10th Makkah. Then we first referred to Paro, Mibichor Paro, Hayoshev Al Kisai. Now when Paro felt, ah, finally the people have respect for me. Oh, you know what? You can go. You can go, you can leave, Egypt. They're also too little too late. They're also half dead anyway. But at least, why would he hold back now? If he didn't hold back until now, he shouldn't hold back now. Something changed. What changed was he was now referred to as the Melech that's Yoshev al Kisei on his throne. There's a very powerful Musa Haskell in this. If you treat other people with dignity, they're different people. This was the yisoid of my Rebbe of Chaim Siegel. He held the high school boy, you talk to a high school boy like an adult. If you treat a high school boy, he's not a baby anymore. If you treat a high school boy, you talk to a high school boy the same way you talk to an adult, a person who's 90 years old, they become a different person. They transform into a person of dignity. They grow with the respect that you put upon them. When Moshe spoke to Klaus like a bunch of babies, they didn't listen to Moshe Rabbeinu. Lo Yishma. When Moshe now is miyaches the yichus of Klal Yisrael, Yaakov Avinu cursed you out, but I'm going to pick you up. I'm going to show you how important you are. Wow, you respect us? We respect you. Yeah. We're willing to listen. Hashem said, try that with Paro also. It'll work. Moshe said, I'm only a human being, Hashem. This man here is evil. I can't put on a show. I can't be who I'm not. This man is a Rasha. I can't have respect for him. I can't respect his Malchus. He can't, not overnight. It'll take me time to get there. Okay, so I'll give you some time. Work on it. When did Moshe finish achieving Hashem's directive to speak to Paro Melech Mitzrayim? The first time Paro became the Melech Mitzrayim was Vayehi Bachatzi Halayla. The Hashem passed over Egypt and he smote every firstborn in Egypt. Mibachor Paroi Hayoshev Alkis. From Paro, Rashi's translation, from Paro the firstborn who sat on his throne of Malchus. The Pasuk records that when Makkos Bechoros came about, Paro at this moment in time had a sense that his Malchus was appreciated. Now Paro's got out of his pajamas. Where is Moshe Rabbeinu? I'm willing to listen now. You can leave. Take all of your people. It happens to be a coincidence that the country is a Chorban. But the Iker Tam, why he said, get out of here, he was receptive is because of the dignity. The Musar Haskel is very powerful on both sides. Treat people with the respect that they deserve, or even if they don't deserve it. When you give respect, it elevates the environment, it elevates the matzav, the people, and it's a different conversation, it's a different ballgame. Have a wonderful Shabbos.